Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. Great to be back with our listeners again today. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha, Nebraska. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be together with you each day, Monday through Friday, as we open up God's Word and dig a little bit deeper, study a little bit more, learn a little bit more, and grow in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And so this is an exercise, if you want to put it that way, but it's a study. It's a time in our daily life when we really need to pay attention and try to take advantage of being in God's Word because that is the basis upon which we're going to be able to guide our lives according to God's will. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." God's word will be the standard or the basis upon which we will be judged by our Lord and Savior on that final day of judgment when he comes again. So we need to know what his word is so that we can live by its teachings faithfully, accurately. We encourage you to come and be with us in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street. 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin on Sunday mornings at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, we come back together at 6 o'clock for another period of worship and Bible study. And Wednesday evenings, good time in the middle of the week to get our spiritual batteries kind of recharged. We meet together each Wednesday evening at 6:30 for midweek Bible classes. Now, you're welcome to any and all of these services. And again, we're located at 3606 North 108th Street. We encourage you to tell others about the program, Search the Scriptures, and we hope that you will come by, get to know us, let us get to know you, worship God with us, study his word with us, grow spiritually with us, and we're just trying to be the church we all read about in the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We hope to see you soon. We're going to finish up our section of study in the general theme of heart troubles, and that is problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. We've covered a whole bunch of those already, anywhere from anger and hatred and gossip down to laziness. But this particular section is a very troubling one for a whole lot of people, and that is prejudice. So we've looked at a whole host of scriptures from God's Word, basically from beginning to end of the Bible, that teaches against prejudice. Prejudice is really in the hearts of a whole lot of people without their really realizing it to its fullest extent. But they're prejudiced. You know, they look at somebody and for whatever reason, you know, they don't like them or they're prejudiced against them. And it goes both ways, by the way. You know, and we've emphasized that. Some people are prejudiced against other people because they think they're prejudiced against them. And both realities are true. But either way, you don't stop prejudice by being prejudiced yourself. And you can look at somebody else and you can point a finger and say, that person prejudiced against me. But when you're prejudiced against that person, you're just as guilty as they are. And it's fruitless to try to explain away your prejudice just because of their prejudice. You're just as guilty as they are. And again, we've emphasized that prejudice takes all kinds of directions. It's not simplified in only one form, but it takes all kinds of directions. There are people in our country who are prejudiced against people who live in a different part of the country than they live in. And that goes back and forth in both directions. There are people who have more education than other people, and they're prejudiced against them. And the people who don't have as much education, they're prejudiced against the ones who have more education. People in big cities look down on people. I'm not talking about everybody, but there are people in big cities who look down on people who live in rural areas, and vice versa. It goes on and on and on and on. It can be on the basis of economy. It can be based on the basis of education. It can be on the basis of religion. It just goes in all kinds of different directions. But we've emphasized that God holds no prejudice. He offers forgiveness, salvation, redemption, eternal life to all who will come to him through Jesus Christ. His judgment is and always will be without prejudice. We need to follow God's example in how we think and how we treat and how we deal with others, because he is the ultimate example of no prejudice. And especially, we need to show that and demonstrate that within the Lord's church. So we've looked at a whole host of scriptures, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, that all condemn and teach against prejudice. Now, what we want to do in this closing section of this particular part of our study on heart troubles is we want to ask the question, how can I overcome prejudice and put it out of my heart for good? Think about you're working outside, or maybe you're in the house, and somehow you get into a spider web, or maybe a spider, you know, weaves its silk thread down and lands on you, and you feel something. All of a sudden, it bites you, and it turns out to be a poisonous spider. To one degree or another, what do you do? Well, first, it hurts, doesn't it? So you slap the spider, right? But then what do? Because the venom's already in you. So you go to the emergency room, and you're looking for some kind of an antidote, something that will neutralize the venom, bring down the swelling, or neutralize the poisonous effect of it. You're looking for basically some kind of an antidote. The same thing would be true if you were out fishing somewhere and you got bitten by a poisonous snake. You want the antidote. If you took something in that was poisonous, you drank it or ate it without realizing it, and you want the antidote for that. You want the neutralizer, the counter effect of that poison. Well, what is the antidote for prejudice? And this is what a lot of people, I don't think they understand. What is the antidote for prejudice? Love. Now, a lot of people who are experiencing prejudice in their heart, they would probably quickly protest. Yeah, right. You know, they roll their eyes backwards. Yeah, here we go. You know, preacher talk here. Yeah, you're not being realistic. Oh, I am being realistic. Prejudice is evil. We've seen that. I don't even know how many verses of Scripture we read that repeatedly, consistently teach against prejudice, about prejudice being evil, ungodly, sinful. The antidote is love. Now, somebody says, well, how do you expect me to love somebody that I'm prejudiced against? You got to get to that hospital, get the antidote, right? You got to get the antidote prescribed, injected, taken in some way to counter-effect what's already in your body, the poison. Prejudice is the poison that's already in your heart. You've got to replace that with love. That's the antidote. Love does not allow prejudice to exist at the same time that it exists in your heart. So if your heart is a heart that loves properly, consistently, that other person or that group of people or that situation, then you're not going to be prejudiced against them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, is an incredible text of Scripture that teaches on the ultimate quality of love. I've said many times, when you look at the New Testament, which was originally written in Koine Greek, when you try to find equivalent words to translate the Greek words into English with, you have a difficult time sometimes. Now, a lot of times you have a pretty good equivalent word, but sometimes you run across words that, yeah, there's just no exact match in the English, and so we have to do the best we can. The Greek had a number of different words that referred to different kinds of love. In our English language, we have basically one word, and that's love. When you look at the word from the Greek that is translated into love in the English, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it is the word agape in the Greek. And that is, in that language, the highest form of love, the highest quality of love. When you listen to translators, sometimes they will say, it is a love without emotion. I disagree with that. I just, the very principle of love, the very quality of love, I believe always has some degree of emotion. But agape love is not primarily driven by emotion. It is not primarily a response based upon emotion. It is a love that is determined in the mind of the person who is exhibiting it. There are people who are very difficult to love in your life, aren't they? But you still try to love them. Sometimes it's very difficult for a parent to love a child who is continually being disrespectful, rebellious, and always getting into all kinds of trouble. And their instinctive reaction might be not hatred, but not loving. But when the parent says, I don't know what to do with this child, but I'm going to love him. That's the idea of agape love. Sometimes that's between a husband and a wife as well, because one is acting in a way that is counterproductive to really not just generating a good quality of love, but it really, you know, kind of attacks that love. It's something that could tear apart that love between the couple. But one or the other within that relationship, they say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let the way he or she is acting right now. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize that they're acting in such a way that could destroy our relationship, our marriage, our family. But I'm not going to let that happen in my mind. I'm going to love him or her anyway. That does not mean I'm going to excuse the way he or she is acting. It doesn't mean I'm going to condone it. But I'm still going to love them. And in that love, I'm going to try to help them see what they're doing and how evil it is, and help them come back to the love that we've had for one another in the beginning. Agape love, a love where I've made up my mind, I will love you. Even if you hate me, I'm still going to love you. I'm not going to let your hatred toward me destroy my love toward you. So what does the text say? 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. That kind of love will make it difficult for prejudice to develop and remain within our hearts against somebody else. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Prejudice? Wanting my way? wanting what I think to be the way you should think, that generates prejudice. Love is not provoked. Again, what I've tried to emphasize in this particular study is that prejudice goes both ways almost all the time. Somebody's prejudice against somebody else, they recognize it, they instantly become prejudiced toward that person as well. But you see, this kind of love, this quality of love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. When you're prejudiced against somebody, you almost automatically and instinctively think evil about that person. Bad thoughts, hateful thoughts in many cases. But this kind of love does not allow that kind of thought process. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. And so if somebody is prejudiced against somebody else and they in some way can hurt that person, they're glad. They're happy about it. Or maybe that person gets hurt in some other way that they had nothing to do with. Good. That person needs to die anyway. See, those are ugly, hateful, ungodly emotions. But this kind of love does not allow that kind of emotion, that kind of thinking. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. And oh, the bottom line statement, verse 8, this kind of love never fails. Never fails. You see, if this is the kind of love, the degree of love, the quality of love that you embody towards somebody, even who may be treating you badly, wrongly, even wickedly, but you embody this kind of love, you've made up your mind, I'm not going to let their prejudice against me make me prejudice against them. I'm going to love them anyway. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to, you know, go over and give them a big juicy kiss on the cheek and, you know, say, oh, you know, what wonderful sugary, syrupy things about how great they are and all that. No, you don't approve of their behavior. But you love them anyway because you've made up your mind you're going to love them. You're going to be the example of righteousness before them, whether they ever become an example of righteousness toward you. And maybe by God's grace and His guidance, you may turn their thinking toward you around, and they may stop being prejudiced themselves. Some tough scriptures in the New Testament and the Old, because they teach something that is not the instinctive reaction that we would naturally have to some given situations, such as Matthew 5 and verse 44, where Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So when you think about somebody who's exhibited prejudice against you, do you pray for them? Do you ask God to help you love them and to be an example of godly love before them? Do you pray for them? Do you ask God to insulate you against acting toward them, even thinking about them in the ways that they are acting toward you, but to rather be the opposite of their actions so that you can present a good, godly, loving example before them? Tough verse of scripture, isn't it? But you see, again, what we're trying to point out, love is the antidote for prejudice. prejudice will eat you up if you let it abide within your heart. But love can overcome prejudice. Romans 12 and verse 21, another one. Do not be overcome by evil. Don't let somebody's ungodly actions toward you result in ungodly evil reactions toward them on your part. So the text says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now you might say, that's crazy. No, that's God's word. God knows a whole lot better than you do or I do. He is all wise. And you can change hearts through love for that person. John 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Christian love is an earmark of Christians. Prejudice is an earmark of people walking by the devil's lead. Christian love can change hearts in other people. This quality of love is the antidote to prejudice. We'd like to help you. You can contact us through our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. You can click in the email link and we can communicate back and forth that way. We can discuss things. We can study together. We can pray together. Or you can call us at 402-498-8397, 402-498-8397. And we'd love to talk with you, sit down and study with you together face to face. We'd love to send you a free Bible study that you can go through on your own if that's what you would like. And again, we mean free. How we need to put prejudice out of our hearts and out of our social conscience, our cultural conscience, because prejudice destroys. Prejudice causes all kinds of negative consequences. Love, agape love, is the antidote to prejudice. Let's pray. Father, help us to love as you would have us to, and thereby to put prejudice out of our hearts. Help us to love as you would have us to people who may be prejudiced against us, but as they continue to see and experience our love regardless of their prejudice, help our example to turn their hearts away from prejudice and to come to you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, Father, so much. Praise, glory, honor, and thanks be to you. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.